there, Rainmakers. Welcome to the show. I am Brian Clark, founder and CEO of Copyblogger Media. And today's episode is another one in the series that I'm calling Free Consulting. I have a specific thing I want to learn more about, and then I think about who's the smartest person I know for this topic. So that person today is Noah Kagan, because we want to talk about using Facebook ads to build our email list. And you guys know I've launched a new curated email newsletter on personal development called Further. It's doing fine organically, but what if I've got more money than time at this point? How can I use advertising to grow that list smartly? Well, that's what we're gonna ask Noah. If you're not familiar with Noah, he was actually employee number 30 at Facebook, but that's not why I wanna talk to him, because what he did after he left Facebook was build AppSumo, which is a huge, gigantic email-powered business, kind of like Groupon for web developers and online marketers, people like us. And now he's branched out and expanded that into a business that is way beyond the Groupon model. So we're going to talk to him about that a little bit. In fact, why don't we get Noah to tell us? Noah, how are you?
Good, Brian. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, thanks for coming, man. Hope you appreciate being our victim in our, free consulting. You know, if I want to know something and I want to share it with them, you know, it makes for a good show.
No, I was like, wow, I'm not getting paid for this.
I forgot to mention that part to you. Yeah. Well, why don't you tell people a little bit about the story? Obviously, you were early on at Facebook. You were early on at Mint. And now you're your own guy as a founder of AppSumo. So give us the sketch of how you got here.
Yeah, man, I'll start with the AppSumo part. Everything else is kind of online. I think what's interesting is that I started seeing all these web apps come out. And I was like, man, it's one of the hardest things for every single business online is marketing. And my previous business, I kept getting on. I was a credit card payments guy for Facebook games. So we did all the payments. And everyone hated us because they're like, you're a payments guy. We don't care about you. Get us more customers. And so I wanted to do something that was more on the top of the funnel, which was getting people customers. And so we realized with AppSumo, if we created some type of distribution that everyone would actually like us and be like, hey, promote our products. And then, you know, the customers would be like, oh, cool. Thanks for discovering cool things for us. And so we've spent the past 4 years building that up. 90% of our business comes through email. And so that's not something I ever really did before or thought of, but I kind of basically became like a super huge email advocate, which is, you know, in my opinion, the number one way to communicate with your customers.
Absolutely.
And and since then we've built tools. We basically took all the tools we've been building at AppSumo and put that into a toolkit called sumome.com. And so those are tools that we've been using internally to grow our own email list and get more traffic.
Excellent. We will link that up in the show notes so everyone can check that out. I have a few friends. I actually have someone who produces a site for me who was, you know, recommending Sumome tools. And I was like, yeah, I know. That's Noah, right?
That's awesome.
I think it's funny. It's cool though, right? Okay, so I kind of set the stage. I have this new email newsletter. It's curated. It's really just fun for me. It's like my personal blog. By the way, why did you name your personal blog OK Dork?
So I bought it in 2000, which now I guess 15 years ago. I thought I would buy domains and get rich. And that was one of the names I came up with. I have that one. I have everspeed.com. And the only one I've ever been offered is for Community Next, which is a Jewish group in Michigan. They offered me like $1,000 for that. So I never got rich off domains, but that was one of the ones I bought.
You know, I had the same idea. And usually I would buy domains as a placeholder for an idea. And if I decided to do it, you do it. If not, you let it lapse. But no one's ever paid me a substantial amount of money for any of them. I had to actually do the work of building sites out of them. What a pain in the ass, huh?
I think that's a key thing that maybe should be the theme of Facebook ads and in general is that, like, you read articles where this guy or girl buys domains and they made a ton of money. And then you do the exact same thing that you've read and it doesn't work out. And I think that's kind of the same I've noticed with Facebook ads. Is you read this article, 2,000% return when I bought my Facebook ads. And you copy them and then it doesn't work. And so I think the thing to understand is, like, you know, why isn't it working for you? And then how can you improve it? Or are there other ways that you should be considering just versus doing what everybody else is telling you to do?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why this show is going to be about the fundamentals. Facebook changes all the time. Tactics change all the time. Even you'll tell us that your own approach that works will stop working at some point. You have to continue to iterate on it. So Here's really where I want to start out, because I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook, mostly hate. We killed the copyblogger page because we get traffic from Facebook, but it's by other people sharing. Our page, unless we paid, really did nothing. On the other hand, I have a local Boulder site, and it does wonderfully on Facebook, organically, and I can't really figure that out. But for the most part, it seems that the sentiment is Facebook's now a pay-to-play platform for marketers. True?
Yeah, I mean, I think at a concept, I've always been kind of a surprised that I have to pay to I pay to tell everyone to go to Facebook, and I have to pay to tell everyone to come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think with email, what I've realized is it's the most control that you can have on communicating with your customers. So right. You're married, right, Brian?
Yes.
You don't have someone else talk to your wife, do you?
Well, I haven't been able to work that out, but no.
Talk to yourself. And so that's what Facebook do. They're talking to your customers, so you don't even know who really gets to see it. It's 4,000 people today saw your boosted post. I think what Facebook's good for is actually what you pointed out about your Boulder site, which is, you know, for organic or social reach, it's able to spread something. But I think in terms of a marketing channel, that you want to just be wary of giving someone else control of your business and of your outcomes.
Yeah. I mean, we call it digital sharecropping, and home base is always your site with your list. But it seems that you have been incredibly effective at taking Facebook traffic and converting it into that higher value email relationship. So that's why you are on the hot seat today. Now, you wrote a great article, and we're going to link this up too, about a year ago, about how you spent $2 million on Facebook ads and built massive lists and what you learned from it, which was very useful. We're a year later. Where are you at today with Facebook as far as your own advertising and what you think about where the platform's headed?
So specifically for Facebook, we're spending only $3,000 a month on Facebook. So that's $36,000 a year, which is much less than, I think at our peak, we were doing somewhere between $200,000 to $300,000 a month. And so it's, you know, it's dramatically gone down for us. And I think what people have to do with their marketing is consider the effectiveness. So like, if I have $300,000, what is actually the most effective way for us of, at that time, which was growing our email list? Right now, it's to try to get people to install sumome.com, right? Mm-hmm. So I basically take $300,000 and I say, all right, well, which will help me get the most amount of people to install it? And so Facebook actually hasn't been that. It's been very expensive for us. A lot of the traffic is mobile, which converts pretty horribly. A lot of it's international, converts horribly. You know, you have to be careful of that.
Right.
And then you have to look at, you know, are there other channels I could spend that on? I think one thing more people need to do is sponsor smaller sites. So instead of going to Facebook, go to like, you know, johnloomer.com, who's a great guy for Facebook ads. Or go to like, for us, WordPress sites are great. So go sponsor smaller WordPress sites instead of just, you know, just Facebook as the only way of thinking about how to do your marketing.
Right. So, okay, here's my dilemma and my scenario. So I'm starting off with a new list, small project. So I don't think the oversaturation issue would affect me. Here's my problem, because you, like I, are an ROI marketer, as everyone should be. But think back to when I started Copyblogger. For the first 18, 19 months, I didn't sell anything. All I did was build audience. And in that period of time, I figured out what the audience wanted to buy. We built it, sold it, and the rest is history. We did that every year since. So I have that same mentality with this new project. And yet, like I mentioned, at this point, I've got more money than time and advertising to build that list, because I know how valuable that audience will be to me to figure out what to sell them. And yet, that means I'm coming out of pocket with no chance for immediate ROI. Would you ever do that yourself?
No.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. And that's generally how I feel too. And yet,
it's so... I'll tell you just why, because I think sometimes just knowing that people do a certain tactic, isn't it sometimes just as important? It's just as important as knowing why they're doing that tactic. And so I think when you're starting a lot of new businesses out, it's easy to just spend on ads because you don't have to kiss anybody's ass. And that's why I loved it for AppSumo. We did no content marketing whatsoever. And content marketing is all the rage, which is also the same thing as blogging. But the point is we didn't do any of it. Because I didn't want to have to go write a post and hope someone would link to it and hope I'd get in a directory or any of that real stuff. I was like, well, if I buy ads, I can just put in 10 and I get out 20.
Yeah.
And it scaled really well. The difference, though, is that if you go and spend money on ads and it's not working, one, you might actually think it's your product that's off. And so you're like, well, no one really wants this, which may not be the case. So you're like, oh, well, no one's clicking and buying and, you know, doing whatever I want them to do. Well, this product's wrong, which is not true. And then secondly, you're spending a lot of money that you don't really know if there's going to be an ROI on it.
Right.
Right. So you're going to get 1,000 email subscribers. Great job. Are any of them going to buy? Who knows? So what we've encouraged people to do, and what I personally encourage people to do, is go validate with offline or one-to-one or other methods that, so you're confident you'll make that money back before you start spending money on advertising.
Yeah. So when you started AppSumo, were those effectively affiliate offers?
When we started AppSumo.com, just like Groupon, we basically lined up exclusive deals. So I would come to you and say, Brian, you sell your course for $100 or your web product for $100. We'll sell it for $50, and then we'd split 25-25.
Yeah.
And so I would buy ads, and I'll give you basically the general metric that I was targeting. So if you had a $100 product, I sold it for $50, and I only had 20, and I get 50% margin. That means I had $25 profit, gross profit. Are you still with me?
Yeah, of course.
So I basically, on Facebook ads, would spend what it would take to get $25. If I could get within $25 of profit within 30 days from those people, then I would say this is a good ad spend, and I would spend as much as I can until it taps out.
Yeah.
So, and what I want to just repeat that, because I think that's a little unclear, like, what the hell is he talking about? Two things. One, when someone comes to your website to make a purchase, only about 2% around there are going to purchase. So you need to collect email addresses. SumoMe.com does that, or other tools you can use to do that. But collect email addresses, which will get you another 10%. And so what we did is that even if people didn't buy right away, I basically looked at, from that spend on that day, how much money came back to me in 30 days. And if it was at least the amount of money that I needed, like if I spent 100 and I got my 100 back from selling 4 of those products, I was like, awesome, right? What I think most people do is they kind of just like, oh, okay, I think it's working, fine. But what you need to do, and what's the ideal gold mine, is that let's say that it's $25 for the product and I spend $25 that day and I make back 25 right away, I basically go and spend unlimited. Yeah. Or if I can make a little bit more in actual profit, I think what happens to too many people, Brian, is that they spend it, they make a little bit of profit, and then they keep it that way. If I find that there's any profit, I basically try to maximize it and turn it up as high as I can. That's why we got to $300,000.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's a truism from old school direct marketing. Once you figure out how to make an ROI, you try to buy as much ad inventory or whatever the medium is as you can. And sometimes the frustrating part is you can't buy enough.
Well, I think there's other ways too that we figured out. Like, one thing that most people do when they have profitable, like I saw this guy today, he was talking about how he had a profitable ad campaign. I was like, well, why are you only spending $50? And so ways that you can expand that are, you can do manual bidding. So instead of letting Facebook decide how much to bid for you, just make a higher bid. And what that'll do is we'll spend more, which reduces your profit, but you'll spend a lot more money. So you actually get to grow more. Secondly, one thing that was really helpful for us was international spend. So we literally try every major country. We try, like, you know, my favorite ones outside of the tier one countries, you know, Spain, Germany, France, any of these European countries that do have money, maybe avoid Greece for now. but that actually was ways that we could really expand our budget when it was working.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's assume we do have a product to sell. We're able to calculate whether or not we're actually making money. Of course, we are funneling them into email because that raises your conversion rate, as you already pointed out. So you basically say, you know, Facebook has the ability, you can choose, if you're trying to build a list, that you can choose a specific conversion at the site. And in this case, that would be the opt-in. But you actually advise setting up click to website. Why?
I mean, I basically, Facebook, think about it. What is Facebook's goal? Facebook's only goal is to make as much money as possible, right?
Yep.
So they will, from an advertiser perspective, do whatever it takes to spend more, the most money. So if your ads will spend more money than another advertiser, they'll spend all your money. And if it's like, great, it's an opt-in, perfect, they'll do that. And so I like to do it where I kind of have the control instead of Facebook. So that's why I generally will choose a click to website. But what I'd recommend, Brian, is that ultimately, like, from someone beginning out, if you're just starting your website, don't sweat if it's OCPM or, you know, click thing, or it's an optimized thing or whatever thing. Just start with the most basic thing so that you can get a sense of, hey, I spent $100 this month, and I wouldn't really spend more than that. That's how much I spent when I first started with Facebook ads for AppSumo. And see, all right, well, how much money did I make back from these people? And I generally recommend also, you know, collecting email addresses, because most people don't buy right away. And the nice thing with email is you can say, hey, you know, here's some free things, and also here's that product that maybe you were still interested in.
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about budgeting in a minute, because you have some really interesting ideas about how you make sure it's going to work before you hit the gas. But before that, I played around with the ad manager a bit, and it really comes down to getting the right, interest group targeting. You know, you've got this amazing demographic information. You have the ability to target people who like, for example, Tony Robbins. I would be the anti-guru version of what Tony Robbins talks about, because I'm not trying to make myself that guy. But it's the same topic, personal development, you know, health, wealth, wisdom, you know, all that kind of good stuff. So I played around with it, and I did try to target against other, you know, people who are interested in certain pages, in more general topics. But it's really, until you really get into spending, you don't know what's working or not. How do you choose your initial interest group targeting?
So what I'd actually recommend is not any of it. For someone really just starting out, Brian, what I'd actually probably recommend is more of custom audience or focusing on retargeting if you have a paid product.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We're actually spending a lot more than I thought. And yet, look at this. I'm pulling up my Facebook stuff so I can speak more accurately to what we're doing. And so what I'd recommend is don't go and try to get new people when you already have 80% of your traffic not converting to either email or purchase. And so spend time on custom audiences, just retargeting them. Do it on, I use Perfect Audience for my retargeting, but you can even just do it directly on Facebook.
Mm.
So I would start with that. There's way more complicated things that people will tell you how to scrape stuff and blah, blah. I'm not going to go into that. For the most basic level, just do a pixel on your site and retarget those people as your first version of your, for your ads. Because you already, why try to go out and get new people when you already have people who have heard of you?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because even if you're doing really well on conversion, 90, 80% of people have left for one reason or another. So you're saying, go ahead. Those people had some interest because they clicked through in the first place.
Or they found your content, exactly. And then when you set up your ads, when you start setting up your actual ads that are new, your retargeting stuff, once you got it working, will always be paying dividends. Like we have retargeting ads for our monthly 1K.com course. I haven't actually looked at them in 6 months, maybe even longer than that. Because it started working before, and you probably should go check it more often than that. But the nice thing with targeting, you hone in on the ROI. So I spend 100, and as long as each month I can see that the pixel is firing and I'm making over 100, then I just keep it going.
Yeah.
If I cared a little bit more, if that was my priority, I'd go back and try to tweak that a lot more. The thing I would say with, you were saying, well, all right, fine. You got the retargeting going, but now who should I actually do to get new customers hearing about me?
Right.
What I personally like doing, and I'm going to give you some strategies. We should talk after this. Just remind me if I don't bring it up. About what stuff that's kind of interesting to be advertising. I think there's some kind of creative things that have worked for us. But specifically on the targeting, I always recommend doing some kind of targeting less than 10,000 people.
Mm.
Really, really, really small. Why? Because I want to know that it really works before it's super big and I have to cut through all the shit to get to the actual one that's going to be working.
Right.
So I want to target, if I were you, what I always do and that works for me is I look at my either best spending customers. So if you have a business already, take your best 20, 100. I took the best 100 of AppSumo, and I just manually looked them up on Facebook. You can search their email addresses. You can search them in LinkedIn. Then what I did is I created a Google spreadsheet, and I basically just listed all their different attributes. Where are they from? What's their gender? What's their age? What's their profession? Books, movies, companies they like, blogs they like, people they like. And you'll basically get a pretty clear picture. Maybe you don't want to do 100 because you're lazy. Fine. Do 10. Do 5. Do even 1 if you're super lazy. And then you'll find very, very patterns. And the more narrow you get, under 10,000 people, the better. So when we started out, Mac Heist was the big one. I was, you're already buying, the best one is someone who's literally identical to you. And so we found, Mac Heist was a Groupon for Mac. And so I just targeted them super aggressively. I was like, if you love Mac Heist, you'll love AppSumo. Here's an Apple logo. We were very aggressive.
Right.
And then over time we found out Tim Ferriss' audience really liked us. They liked all the products. So I was just if you love Tim Ferriss or Tim Ferriss's book, you'll like it. Okay. And then you start looking at all right, what are other things? Then you get a little more broader. But I'd say in the beginning, you want to go as narrow as possible. And you use what I recommended about just looking at your top 5 people, if that, to understand their preferences. So, who is your, let's do an example. Who's a reader of yours or a listener of yours? What's the prototypical person or a person you're like, oh man, the John Blah is that guy.
Yeah, that's hard because people know me for something else. There are a lot of marketers on my list just watching what I'm doing, and I actually invited them to do that as kind of a case study. So I don't have that much of a feel because effectively all I ask for is the email address. And I'm going to start figuring that out. But I think the key advice here for that I've heard from others lately is that you have actual people who are perfectly the persona that you're looking for. And what you have to do is figure them out first and then go to Facebook or whatever the advertising platform is.
Yeah, I mean, just take your last subscriber even for your site. And then I would just take them, search their email address on Facebook, and you'll actually be able to get it. There's some other tools online now. I'll send you a link afterwards where you can search someone's email, and it'll basically go scour the web for every type of personal profile information about them, which is kind of creepy now that I say it out loud.
It very much is.
That's super creepy. But it's more just to get an idea of, you're looking for patterns of cross. Like, one of my favorite things are, like, what are the blogs that they're reading? What are the magazines that they read? Books are a huge one. You know, if you have a kind of a narrower book, like, they all have a certain type of copyright conversion marketing, like maybe they like scientific advertising. Those are the kind of jackpots you're looking for. When you start targeting like TechCrunch or Mashable or even, you know, Social Media Examiner, they're so broad and big that it's going to be a lot harder for you versus, like, let's say you are a, if you're trying to do WordPress hosting, I would target like WP Engine.
Yeah, right.
Right. Or if you're doing WordPress hosting, like, who's like maybe Chris Lima's fan page. Yeah. So just try to start super narrow in the beginning and, and that's what I would do. And basically what I do from there is, once I find that it works with them, I max out that budget. And then I'll go to the second tier and I'll start trying to test out with smaller amounts which stuff works. Like, I think what's really telling is, people hear me talk, oh, I spent, you know, millions of dollars literally. But I started out the first month with $100 or $400. And the second month, once I saw it working, was $1,000. So it wasn't like it worked overnight. It took, you know, a few months for us to tweak it in. But then once we got it in, you know, it was $50,000 a month, and then it kept rising.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've really already addressed this, but, you know, you're effectively saying start with very small amounts of money, very small slices of an audience, see if it works, and then try to see if that also scales up.
Yeah. I mean, there's things that, like, that, you know, I've pulled back, right? So we were going from thousands a day. Now I'm doing 100 a day. And it was because, you know, we saw that, like, for what we're promoting now, which is mostly SumoMe, just the CPA got to be like, you know, $50 or something pretty high, where at that point we didn't really know our ROI. So I didn't feel comfortable doing that yet. If I know that it works, then I'll go back and spend aggressively.
Yeah.
Things that you know, I think are interesting are, like, you know, newsfeed was a big thing for a lot of people. And that's when I started really getting back into Facebook about a little over a year ago or 2 years ago. And then mobile is another thing that I think a lot of people are, besides app installs, so much of Facebook, I think, you know, probably 30 to 40% of their traffic has got to be mobile traffic.
Yeah.
So as an advertiser, I think that's something you have to be very, very concerned about. Because if you're going to be doing ads to mobile, you're probably going to get a really crappy conversion, and you're going to be spending a lot of money for things that aren't converted.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever opted into an email list on my phone. You know, it's just, it doesn't feel right. But then again, I'm an old guy, so maybe the younger generation is more comfortable with that.
Well, I think that's what I want to say for marketing. Marketing is more of, like, you know, what's your most, we all have the same time. So what's the most effective use of time? Is it actually doing Facebook ads? Is it doing a blog post? Is it sponsoring an Instagram person?
Right.
And I think what people need to do is spend time thinking about where they're going to get the most leverage before they go and just say, oh, well, Facebook ads, and I can just put in money and get email subscribers. So it's like, how do you know that? You know, I would test out small amounts and see what actually works before I would go just commit 100% to Facebook.
Have you tried anything with Twitter, which I found the ROI on is really bad compared to Facebook, but, you know, again, it could be contextual. Organically, Twitter is killing it for me, but then again, that's my biggest audience. Have you tried any of the other social advertising platforms?
I'm not sure if there's a platform I haven't tried. I've spent about $100,000 on Google. Just to give you some background, I've spent $100,000 on Google. I've probably made about $15,000 back. That's not a good return for the people doing math.
And that's weird, because Google is always the hardcore ROI marketer's first move, you know, search intent and all that.
And so I think what people have to think about, you know, what is your product, and then where's the mind of that customer? So if you're on Google, you're looking for a solution. You're not looking for a same day, a weekly special on tool, you know, a weekly special on web tools. Yeah. You're not thinking about that. But on Facebook, you're browsing, you know, your ex-girlfriend's photos. You're like, oh, cool, like, there's some new, like, web app, I'll check that out. You know, it makes a lot more sense. And the same thing with Twitter. I've had, you know, some horrible success with Twitter. That makes no sense. I've had some horrible times with Twitter where they're not a direct response thing, but for content advertising, Twitter's going to be great, because people are used to going to Twitter, reading a blog post, and then coming right back to wasting another 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same thing with, like, I had a course called email1k.com, which is, it's a totally free course that shows people how to grow an email list. And that worked really well on Twitter, because it was just like, oh, cool, really easy to click, add your email, and you're done. You can go right back to kind of browsing it.
Yeah. So did you use Twitter cards with the subscription button right there?
We did. Yeah. And that works well. I can't say it's like a game changer, but yeah, it worked well and we were fine with it. I think what you have to consider is like, where is the intent and the mindset of the person you want to be taking action?
Yeah.
Like even on Facebook, one thing I was going to mention to you, Brian, in terms of two strategies that have worked well of things to advertise, advertising content's actually worked pretty well. So taking a piece of content and not making it seem like an ad, but like take a blog post that's really popular,
right,
or a post that's converted people and just advertise that instead of creating a landing page or putting them to an opt-in page. And yeah. I've had really good success with that. I've also had really good success from Twitter and Facebook on advertising contests. So contests are good because you don't really, for some of them, you don't have to pay out right away. You know, you pay out the prize over many years, or you pay it out in installments. But advertising it actually is a great way for it to go more viral and get a really effective CPA or cost per, I guess, acquisition or CPE, you know, cost per email.
Yeah. So I'm obviously always a content guy, but it's interesting, of course, that the same thing we teach people about, you know, what's the right social network? Well, it depends. Who are you trying to reach? It's absolutely the same thing with advertising, except the stakes are just a bit higher when you start burning cash.
I think the thing to add to that, I think, Brian, you're very right. Your stakes are, you know, your cash is at stake. But I think what you have to, and in addition to that, I think what you have to consider is everyone's already doing Facebook. Everyone's already doing Twitter. A lot of people are doing Google already. They're, you know, $100, $200 billion plus company. Where are people not advertising?
Right.
And that's actually where I've had some of the best success with spending money for results. Like, are there new networks like Snapchat that haven't been tapped out fully?
Mm-hmm.
Are there smaller bloggers? Are there new directories? The places where people haven't advertised yet, I've always had the best success.
Yeah, it's interesting because you'll see MailChimp and Squarespace, heavy podcast sponsors. You know, they're everywhere. You would imagine it's got to be working. You would hope that they actually care. I don't know about Squarespace. Well, they buy Super Bowl ads, but...
I mean, that's you know... I'm like, I buy senior citizen home ads, which we can't know. What I was thinking, though, is like I was talking to one. I don't know if you wanted me to. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention his name, but it's a pretty popular like health supplement company.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he gets 95% of his revenue from podcasts. And it's because he sponsors all the major podcasts. So I can't say 100% that it's working for everybody. But I'm saying it's something that like that's a channel that I would even consider. Like what I look for in advertising after it's, you know, besides that it's ROI, is that it's scalable and repeatable.
Yeah.
Because if you can do it one time, fine. But if you can't scale it or repeat it, like Reddit, for example. In the beginning of AppSumo, I spent a crap ton of money on Reddit ads because like not as many people were doing it. And it was really cheap. And you know, there's a lot of traffic. And over time, I couldn't repeat it. Like I just couldn't, no matter what I did, no matter what we advertised, which subreddit, it just stopped working. And that's kind of that's what happens with ads. When there's, you know, a short line at the grocery store, everyone moves into that one.
Yeah. So you're saying the actual popularity of the platform impacts your advertising just because of the sheer volume of competitive messages.
Yeah, because if you're advertising to Tim Ferriss's fans, and I am too, then it's going to just get more expensive until a point, you know, for a certain person it's profitable, for other people it won't be.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, Noah, I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your wisdom. A lot of good stuff, a lot of things to digest. I would take this show as a starting point, do your research. We're going to link up some of the resources that Noah already mentioned, including SumoMe for you to check out. What's coming up next? Anything you want to preview or tease at?
I don't have anything. We're developing out SumoMe. We're working on, besides even using SumoMe, I think everyone in general needs to build their own email list.
Yeah.
And I think Facebook and Twitter are good backups to amplify your messages. But as you know, things get more locked down, you want to be able to connect directly with your customers. Possibly the next thing that we're not working on, but someone is being able to mass text message your customers. And not in an annoying way, but in a permission way where they're looking forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, there's a lot of people actually, I think, working on that. So anyway, thanks, sir, very much for your time.
All right, brother.